I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all my tool friends. We got the substitute, CSBM McLaughlin, standing 6'3", 220, light heavyweight champion of the world.
Hey, look, I am not 220, and if I ever have to fight someone that's 220, that's my...
You ain't bulking up? Like, bones?
Nah, I'd be thinking about that. Why? Because look, I'm like a good 185. So if I fought, I'd have to fight like Izzy. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, Izzy would airbend you out the building, bro. No, that'd be intense. Then we got Coach Brandon Lundberg.
Hey, feels like we just recorded something a minute ago.
Oh, what? Thursday night football preview. Check it out. Yeah.
That's right.
Nate, Jedi Master. Asian Kenny Rogers, the Parlay Pick'em King, Parker.
Let's go!
All right, guys, we're jumping right into this one. We're on the clock. Let's talk about Richard Sherman signing with the Bucks. So this is the type of move that is just like a cherry on top. It's like, oh, we just had a bad loss. Let's bring one of the greatest cornerbacks of all time in there that is known for being the heart and soul of a defense, to ignite a fire under this defense. And you know Richard Sherman's coming in first day, calling dudes out, getting out on that field, talking trash. Is this what the Bucks need? Or could this be... They had success bringing in Antonio Brown, another personality. Would this... Do you think this will help? And will Antonio Brown and Richard Sherman get into a fist fight in practice?
Definitely they will get into a fist fight, and I look forward to seeing the coverage on that. But here's what I want to say. What I think Richard Sherman brings to that defense is actually accountability. One of the things that I would say Richard Sherman has done over the course of his tenure in any team, the two teams that he's been on, is hold his teammates accountable, and that's what that secondary needs. They need a veteran leader that can say it and say, "You done effed up, but here's how you, what you can do to get better. Look for this next time. Maybe next time you see this look, don't pull as far deep." Like, that's what that Bucks secondary needs. They need Richard Sherman's veteran leadership, and I think that's what the Bucks got.
CJ, Richard Sherman, the Bucks, what you think?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I agree a lot with what Nate's saying. It was something that they needed to do. It was a good addition. Now, obviously, if the Buccaneers weren't dealing with so much injury in their defensive backfield, I don't think Richard Sherman would have necessarily been a target for him. Now, granted, his last full year playing in 2019, he was graded as the best cover corner in the entire league. Last year, he dealt with injuries with San Fran on and off the field, but he still posted a respectable coverage grade last year in, you know, just a short amount of time. So it's a good pickup, but mind you, we should definitely just channel our excitement here. Richard Sherman, he is 33, which is really old for a cornerback. I love him. He's probably one of my favorite corners to ever play. But, I mean, he's getting up there in age. But the intangibles that he brings, the leadership, the locker room mentality, all of that stuff is a plus for Tampa Bay.
Don't you ever put a garbage receiver like Michael Crabtree with Richard Sherman.
Right.
Hey, Brandon, what you think about the Bucks signing Richard Sherman?
I don't know. The fit might be a little weird at first.
They run a lot of man. I thought it was weird.
Yeah, so I feel like he's his own guy, and who knows? Maybe they'll change up his role a bit. Maybe he'll play. Remember,
Richard Sherman playing man was the reason the Kansas City Chiefs got back into that Super Bowl game. He got burned on man coverage.
Well, look, I don't.
He got burned.
I feel what Brandon is saying, but I don't think it'll be. I don't think it'll be too much of an odd fit because Tampa Bay, they do like to play cover too, right? So that it'll be man, but he'll have safety help over the top. So yeah. Some of the same principles still exist there. It may be some adjustment, but I don't think it'll be a huge one.
Yeah.
Personally.
And I think him combined with a veteran like Lavonte David
is absolutely great for any defense.
I would potentially move him back. That's all. Maybe a safety role over the top.
San Fran was doing that in certain packages last year. So, yeah. All right. Before we move on to the games, of course, we got to stop by Trivia Corner with the substitute. Feet up on the desk. Asking questions. Pop quiz.
Welcome to 5-Tool Trivia.
Damn, this substitute. So, I don't know if you guys saw the hint and the outline.
We watching a movie today?
But I did post the hint for you guys to, you know, just kind of...
I saw the hint. The hint was, boy, Peyton Manning was an awful rookie.
And boy, he was. All right, so without further
ado... I'm guessing rookie quarterbacks because Trevor Lawrence is playing tonight.
For the 5-2 sports trivia.
Okay.
So... Without further ado, I told Nate last night I got a 30 clip in the blicky when it comes to trivia. So, you know, I come up with a trivia question like every day. So the clip is full. But without further ado, Trevor Lawrence is on pace to throw 40 interceptions in his rookie season. Who are the two most recent quarterbacks to throw more than 20 interceptions in their inaugural season? Nate, I'll cut it to you first.
I'm going to say Josh Rosen and Andrew Luck.
So Josh Rosen and Andrew Luck. Brandon, what you got for me?
Maybe Josh Allen and Peyton Manning. I don't know.
Who you got, Woody?
Andrew Luck, I think, is one of them. And I really like Nate's Rosen. I'm trying to think of anybody else, but I'm drawing a blank. So I'm going to piggyback on Nate on this one.
Andrew Luck.
All right. Decent guesses this time. I gave you guys a hint. So, you know, I thought maybe you'd do some research, maybe jog your memory. You guys are all wrong.
I knew
it. Not great answers, not terrible answers.
Tell me, Teach. Am I failing?
So...
Hate substitutes.
In 2013, Geno Smith actually threw 21 interceptions.
Ooh, Geno.
Who could ever forget him?
Wait, Rock is in the crap. Building.
Mark Sanchez.
Is the other one Stafford?
The other one is not Stafford. Although during my research, I did note Matt Stafford threw 20 interceptions in 10 games his rookie year. That's wild.
That's impressive. That's
it's very impressive. And then the second answer is in 2017, Deshaun Kaiser.
Ooh, yeah.
Threw 22 interceptions for the Browns.
I forgot
he played football.
Yep.
I thought he was going to be nice, too. I loved Kaiser in college.
It's one for me.
Mm. Yep, that's one for you. Put that in the bank.
That was too much developmental.
Yeah, right.
All right, guys, let's jump right into it. We got to keep it moving, keep a good pace here. So we already talked about the Jaguars and Bengals, obviously, yesterday. So we're going to dive right in to the Washington football team and the Atlanta Falcons. The spread is -1.5, Washington football team. I'm going Atlanta, but I'm going to let y'all give me the analysis for it. CJ?
I just like the Washington football team here. I know we expected that defense to be a lot better. Still early in the season. Maybe they can get things right. We expected that front four to be a strength. And we've seen that Atlanta offensive line be pretty terrible. We've seen Matt Ryan be pretty terrible under pressure. So I think the Washington football team will be able to get after Matt Ryan and the offensive line. And then I think Washington football team will win this one.
Brandon?
Honestly, everything that CJ just said makes a lot of sense, and it should make sense because Atlanta's offensive line has not been great. They were a lot better last week. But again, pressure has to get home on Matt Ryan. I think this is an opportunity for Matt Ryan to get right against a secondary that I don't believe in for the Washington football team. But again, that front is ridiculous. And against that Atlanta offensive line, who knows, right? But if that pressure doesn't get home and Ryan has time, I think this is a get right game. I'm taking Atlanta in this one. It's almost straight up, basically, at -1.5. So,
going man Falcons. After my own heart. I just wrote
now,
down.
Now, mind you, Atlanta lost to Philadelphia at home 32-6, right? So, always want to give, you know, a little
they just beat the
benefit
Giants.
To the home team. But, yeah.
Well, that's my that's what I was
transitive going. Properties. Get that out of here.
Atlanta's offense, Atlanta's offense is built to be played in the dome. That's how Calvin Ridley like takes advantage. Him and Matt Ryan have a good hookup in the dome. So that's I'm looking at that to burn their secondary. The offensive line looked better against the Giants, who do not have a terrible pass rush. And I have a feeling like that Matty Ice sense that he's gonna have one of those like. One of his four games where he has a great game this year. Nate, who you got?
I have Atlanta. I am not a huge fan of the football team secondary. I think this is Kyle Pitts' coming out party. And kind of like you said, Woody, Atlanta, this may be Matt Ryan's one of his five games this season where you're like, oh, man, why didn't I start Matt Ryan? Why is he on my bench in fantasy?
Yep. No, I agree. All right. Lions, Bears. We're not going to spend too much time on this one. We don't even know if Justin Fields will be starting in this one. They've yet to come out and say who's the starter is going to be this week. Didn't look great last week. It was a little rough. Lions defense hasn't looked great either. And they're really bad at stopping the run, which the Bears happen to have David Montgomery. Nate, who do you got in this one? It's your squad.
I am Bears minus going three. With... I'm going with the Detroit Lions to win outright.
Lions money line, huh?
Lions money line. I mean, obviously, sports gamblers. I'm going to take the Lions plus three because why give away free points and better odds?
Yeah, don't do that.
The only reason I think the Lions are going to win this game is that they are a tough, gritty football team that stays close with but plays up to their opponent
for sure.
They played up to the Ravens, they played up to the Niners, I mean they played up to Green Bay for a half, but I think what I'm seeing from the Lions, and I hate this as a Lions fan, is they're giving me hope. Like they what the Lions so here's my thing. What the Lions have been missing for three decades is tough football, and they play tough football now.
Yep, they do.
No, for sure. I'm right there with you, Nate. I don't have the Lions winning, but I could definitely see them coming into this game and winning. Chicago Bears under Matt Nagy, they've had a history of playing down to lower tier opponents. And as we've seen earlier this year, Dan Campbell has the Lions playing hard. So I'm right there with you on that. I do think the Bears will get the dub here. It was a bit alarming watching them last week, Matt Nagy with Justin Fields in there. A lot of drop back passes, didn't move the pocket a lot. I rarely ever call for coach to get canned, but it's about Matt Nagy's time. Sunday was his worst performance ever, in my opinion.
Give him the boot.
Yeah.
Get him out. Give him the boot. Yeah, get him out. Get him out. He ruined Mitch Trubisky. He's working on ruining Justin Fields with awful play calling, only what, two or three designed runs for Justin Fields. That is not a recipe for success with an athlete of Justin Fields' caliber. Look at what the Lions did last week against Lamar Jackson. If it weren't for three drop touchdown passes, it would have been an even bigger margin. But I do feel confident that you can't play worse than the Bears, and the Lions are slightly better. I'm taking the Lions plus three.
Love it.
Yep.
I dig it.
And David Montgomery, great target in DFS this week, guys.
There you go.
And also in fantasy. Titans, Jets, we're not wasting much time here. We got the Titans at -7.5. But here's the thing. We saw Zach Wilson week one play decent against the Carolina defense. That was, like, decent. Last two, he's faced arguably the two best defenses in the NFL. Well, excuse me. One, the best defense in the NFL, New England. Bill Belichick is a demon against rookie quarterbacks. So the Titans, this could be a rebound game for the Jets. I'm picking the Jets to cover here. I think Zach Wilson has a little bit of a redemption game. They get the run game going. That defense is, like, not great. It's been playing better. But the Jets can put bodies on Derrick Henry at least, and they might be missing their two starting wide receivers this game. A.J. Brown banged up, Julio banged up.
Yeah. Hey, look, name a guy from Brian Belichick's, from Bill Belichick's coaching tree that's been successful, or outside of Mike Vrabel. And I feel like there's another name out there, but I'm starting to think Mike Vrabel might be a little overrated. I don't really like what I'm seeing out of Tennessee right now. Hey, look, he's a defensive mind. He's a hard-nosed coach. And since he's been there outside of maybe the first year, that defense has been pretty average to bad. So I'm a little concerned there. I don't really believe in the Titans, even though I have them winning the AFC South, but that's because the AFC South is putrid. But, I have the Titans here in a close one. But, again, they have to show me more. I'm not a believer in Tennessee, and I think they will play down to their opponent this week in the New York Jets. So, again, I just don't think the Titans cover.
Here's the thing with hard-nosed coaches. Scott Skiles from the NBA, he's known for this. The NBA, a team that's been doing terrible for years and that has a loose clubhouse, a lot of young players, they'll bring in Scott Skiles for two seasons, three seasons, and he will, he's a hard-nosed coach. He wears on players. But the thing with hard-nosed coaches is they'll get you to that point, that precipice of, crossing over into a good team. But then once you start wearing on players, you got to go. You got to bring in the actual offensive mind and gifted coach. So maybe we're seeing that transition point of Vrabel's got this franchise turned around, but they just need a little bit more push on offense, a little bit more creativity. Something there maybe.
Yeah. And the Jets, I feel like this is an opportunistic opportunity for them. Everything CJ said makes a lot of sense in that regard. But I do think the Titans, they're a bit of a mash unit. Both teams are a bit of a mash unit, but the Titans could be without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones at the same time. So that's a big deal. It's going to put a lot more pressure on Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill to make some things happen. To kind of, in a nutshell, in this game, I don't trust LaFleur, the offensive coordinator for the Jets, to make the right calls to potentially win this game outright. But I also think that the plus 7.5 with the Jets, I don't like going against that. You know what I mean? I like to be on the other side of that as much as possible. So I will take the Jets in this one. But again, the Titans are blitzing at a top 10 rate. And obviously Zach Wilson is struggling against the blitz, posting the fourth worst passer rating when blitz so far this season. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Write that stat down.
You're picking the Jets to win or just to cover the spread?
Cover. I only pick based on that. So I'm not really. If I say it's outright, it's outright.
If you think they're gonna win, you just stay the money line. So, Colts to Dolphins. This one, I don't think there's a lot to spend time on here. The Colts, they're starting Carson Wentz, who has two sprained ankles. Dolphins have Jacoby Brissett, the backup starting for a couple weeks, who looked competent in the second half. He was moving the ball in junk time, and he brought the Dolphins all the way back to overtime. So the Colts' defense has been struggling against the pass this year. Do we see maybe the Dolphins find their passing game here in this game?
No. I don't think so. I mean, look, I got Indy here. I think it'll be a pretty easy victory for him. I don't like what I've seen out of the Dolphins this year. The Colts, I haven't really liked what I've seen out of them either, right? We expected the defense to be really good, and it's been average. And then, Carson Wentz and the offense doesn't look great. Carson Wentz with the injury, troubles just early on in the season. There's a lot off with Indy right now, but it's even more stuff off with Miami. So I'm going to go Indy here.
Right on. Anyone have anybody besides Indy? Anyone taking the Dolphins?
No, I'm taking the Colts.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take the Colts.
I'm taking the Dolphins. I think the Colts offense has been absolutely terrible all season. They can't get it going against anyone. Not that I think the Dolphins defense is great, but you know what? The Dolphins defense did show signs of life last week with Jacoby Brissett under center. And, I'm adding in a bit of a revenge game here for Jacoby Brissett against his old team, the Colts.
Ooh, I love a revenge game. That's a good one.
Hey, to point that out, to further support Nate, The Colts actually have essentially the second worst defense in terms of receivers running wide open separation wise in the NFL. So
that's not
keep that in mind this week. So if you're a DFSer, Jalen Waddle, any of the Dolphins receivers, if you want to kind of throw them
Matt
in there.
Matt Gesicki last week with Jacoby Brissett, he was the guy he was looking to. 10 receptions, 86 yards. This is his bailout option. If you get points per reception in any fantasy league, slam Matt Gesicki.
I like that. I like that. Is he available in
No.
In our
league?
No.
Mike Gesicki.
Mike Gesicki, excuse me.
Yeah. And Will, I think Matt's his brother.
Will Fuller is probably also someone to be on the lookout for.
Yes.
He did make a couple good plays last week.
And if anybody's getting separation, he will for sure too. Him and Waddle.
Giants at Saints. We're not even gonna discuss this one. Saints -7.5. Just put your picks in. I'm slamming Saints because I don't believe in my team.
On the outline, I put LOL Saints.
Exactly. So. Yeah.
Saints.
Yeah. You thinking Giants cover here, Brandon?
I am taking the Giants with the +7.5 because I stay on the other side of those bigger margins.
And I honestly agree with you there, but I can't support
you. Don't team. Like it?
I'll take like L. it. I'll take an L. They don't deserve it.
Giants is his least favorite team right now.
I do believe I read a stat, and I'll try to further solidify this after the show because I did not write it down. But Daniel Jones is one of the higher graded quarterbacks according to Pro Football Focus. I don't know if he's like one, two, or three, but he's in there.
All he does is throw deep and run the ball. He can't throw in the mids at all.
Look. That's why numbers can lie to us sometimes. I noticed something like that too, Brandon. I was actually looking at Dak Prescott. This is a little off topic. Dak Prescott's his QBR and his passer rating after Monday night, right? His QBR was in the low 50s because he took 4 sacks and he fumbled in the end zone for a touchdown, right? But his passer rating was 143 because he threw 3 touchdowns and he completed 80% of his passes. So, you know, you kind of got to pick
but
and choose.
Daniel Jones probably graded out really well. Regardless, because those sacks might not have been his fault. It could have been the offensive lineman whiffing on a block. So many, you know the variables, CJ.
No, for sure.
All right. Chiefs to Eagles. Chiefs -7.5. Eagles coming off of a beatdown by the Dallas Cowboys. And I think as CJ's been slamming them, I think the Eagles got exposed a little bit this weekend. Yeah. So they're not a good football team. And the Chiefs are. And the Chiefs are coming off a close loss.
I don't think the spread's big enough to be honest with you.
Thank you. I was gonna say slam the Chiefs right here this week. It might be 21. Can we get a 21 spread and I'd still pick it?
Yeah, me too. Me too. And that's
you guys are silly.
I know.
Yeah. I'm actually on the other side. I mean, this is one of my upsets. I think the Eagles will cover.
Yeah, I'm not picking them to win. I feel like 7.5 again. There's obviously, no I mean, this is a game to be on the fence on. I probably wouldn't bet this one as much on the spread or even the over unless you're banking on the Chiefs really putting up a lot of points. This is at the Eagles. What about the weather here? Let's see. Rain, no precipitation, no nothing.
Yeah,
clear day, Patrick Mahomes.
We're on
different sides. You're probably right. I'm probably on the wrong side of this one, but I'm going Eagles.
Bro,
7.5.
Josh Gordon, he's in the building watching.
I think that's
smoking a blunt up in the bleachers.
I think Josh Gordon coming back is irrelevant. You know, at least right now, he's missed so much time.
Totally.
He's 30.
Until he does something,
but
who cares?
I think Philadelphia put up some points in this game because that Chiefs defense isn't that good. Jalen Hurts, he's a dual threat quarterback. He's going to present problems. All right. With that said, Kansas City will double him up, whatever the score is, 42-21.
Love it. Love it. Nate, where are you going? Eagles, Chiefs?
No, I've got Eagles to cover. But here's the thing. I think we say the Eagles got exposed. We already knew they weren't that great of a football team. But I think more so it highlighted how good the Dallas Cowboys are. And I hate to say that because I don't like the Dallas Cowboys. But I think the Dallas Cowboys are a top 5 team in the NFL. And that is
so that's your issue with me then, huh, Nate?
I think no.
Sure, we'll go with that. That's my issue with CJ. That's kind of where I'm sitting is I think the Eagles are not a terrible football team.
For sure. All right. So Nate.
Hey, can I throw out a stat?
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm so sorry to hold up the show, but
you better be sorry.
The Eagles, they run quarter quarters coverage at the league's third highest rate. They also own the fifth lowest percentage of pass plays of 15 yards or more.
Love it.
And here's another stat for the fantasy lovers out there. Ooh, Dalton Schultz, tight end for the Dallas Cowboys, had six catches, 80 yards, and two touchdowns Monday night. Now they're going against Travis Kelce. So for DFS or any of that good stuff.
Kelce will have 12 catches and 180 yards.
He might have a career night. Yeah,
he might have a 30 clip in fantasy this week.
Nice.
Holy moly.
All right, Texans and Bills, we even less time than we spent on the Giants and Saints. The Bills are at minus 15.5. You could take this, but I'm staying away from this game in the 10-foot ball. I'm not betting on this game.
I wouldn't bet on this either. I'm taking the Bills.
I'd take the Texans just because I hate spreads like that, but that's the only reason.
Oh, yeah, Bills. I don't even really need to explain why.
Yeah. And Nate, we all know you're taking the Bills.
I mean, no, look, I like the Bills to win. I don't like the Bills to cover 15.5 points because David Culley has had that Texans team just play hard and being competitive. That's what I thought, right? Yeah. And so just for that fact, I would stay away from this game. If it's over 15.5, would it shock me? No, not at all. Buffalo's a good team and Houston is a bad team, but they're a bad team that plays really hard, and this is the NFL.
And the quarterback. Quarterback.
He went against Carolina, good defense, and they didn't.
He was
he didn't look right, but he's okay.
He's underneath, nothing over the top.
But look, they lost that game by 15 points, right? The spread hit 15.5. So,
Cardinals at Rams minus 4.5. The Rams are obviously favored in this one, coming off that huge victory against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Aaron Donald is the player that can absolutely wreak havoc on a small quarterback like Kyler Murray. I'm just throwing that out there right away. I'm smashing the Rams on this one. He's going to be disrupting that offense. That offense runs so very much on just, you got to give him just a little bit amount of time for those little routes to get open. Bring it.
No, this is just off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You just brought up Aaron Donald. Yeah, something's happening here. I don't understand this feeling. Something about the middle, right?
Yeah. I'm
talking about the middle and these feelings. I don't even know. Where am I going with this? You said Aaron Donald. Pressure from the middle of the defense is going to force Kyler Murray into his comfort zone. So I do feel like kind of keeping Aaron Donald maybe on the edge a little bit more to keep him in check might be a play that you'll see this weekend.
They do love moving him around that line.
Yeah, you're gonna have to. Because Murray's more comfortable when he can see everything a little bit better outside the pocket as well. So if you keep him kind of corralled in there, make him be what he doesn't want to be, a pocket passer, there you go.
What I'm interested most in this game, I alluded to it last week before, about Jalen Ramsey playing this new star position on that defense, right, where he's not just lined up as the outside corner, but they're moving him around, putting him at linebacker, at nickel, letting him blitz. I'm interested to see if the Rams if they move him around like they have been the entire season, or do they just strictly put him on D-hop this week? Now, it's pros and cons to it. One of the pros is you might not have to shadow D-Hop with Jalen Ramsey because D-Hop hurt his ribs 2 weeks ago, played Sunday, didn't have a great game, so he's obviously not 100%. But I don't think this Cardinals team is that good. I think they somewhat put the league on notice when they beat Tennessee pretty good. But then here we are, and I think we all agree that Tennessee might not be as good as what we thought they were. So I have the Rams here. I think they win convincingly. I think they win by more than 4.5. I think they win by about a touchdown, maybe even 10 points.
Yeah. I think that they're going to expose the offense finally. Arizona's going to look a little pedestrian. I think if Hopkins is injured, like what you're saying, and his ribs affect him, that's going to be a big deal.
The wild card here is two players, Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk. If Kirk can get open deep, if Rondell Moore can actually make a difference and bust some long plays on short passes.
There you go.
And this is the other thing that I've noticed, and then we can move on. This is about the Rams offense having Matt Stafford. In past years with Jared Goff back there, and just in having a Jared Goff type of quarterback in that type of offense, you got to run it to throw it. All right. Well, I said something a few weeks ago about how the Rams just seem to not run it as much this year.
Because they don't need
They actually run it at about a 70% rate in the fourth quarter. And because you have Matt Stafford now, Sean McVay can now throw it to run it. And that's what he's been doing this season. So, I mean, look, I think that Cardinals defense is going to be exposed. I think it's just as bad as it was last year. And, you know, I think the Rams go up by a decent amount and then they just, you know, punch the Cardinals in the mouth at the end of the game and just run it and, you know, run out the clock. Keep that offense off the field.
Nate, Rams versus Cardinals. Who are you picking?
I've got the Cardinals outright.
Outright? So Cardinals cover. Cardinals money line.
Cardinals money line.
Ooh, mark it down. All right, Seahawks 49ers. Two teams. Guys, is this our first loser goes home match of the year? Loser of this game doesn't make the playoffs?
Man, it's too early, but I feel you because it's the NFC West and you can't get down to it three games.
Mm-hmm. This team will be 1-3. Yeah. Whoever loser goes home here. You do not rebound from this. I'm going Seahawks, better quarterback. That's the rule we always pick.
I'm gonna say this. If the Seahawks are the team that lose this week that goes to 1-3, I still believe in them because they have Russell Wilson. I think they can get out of that hole. If San Francisco falls to 1-3, I don't think they can climb out of that hole because Jimmy G is back there at quarterback. For that reason, I have Seattle winning this. I don't think the 49ers are a good team. I don't think they're bad, but their secondary think they're a bit overrated. And so the difference here to me is Russell Wilson. So I'm going with the Seahawks.
Their weakness is their secondary. They have DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett will be playing this week. Anna Russell Wilson. Chris Carson's been looking good. If the Seahawks defense just needs to play slightly below average, and they'll win this game convincingly.
I'm on the other side. I don't think the Seahawks are a good football team. I think they have a great quarterback, but I don't think they're a good football team. I think they're poorly coached and poorly managed at this point. I think they're out of playoff contention already.
All right.
As much as I like Russell Wilson, like you guys have heard me talk about Russell Wilson having the best touch on a ball out of any quarterback in the National Football League. I'm on record saying that. I think he has a better touch than Mahomes. The Niners are a better, more complete football team. CJ preaches this all the time. Who plays better complementary football? The 49ers. The 49ers are the better team here.
All right, so Nate's got the 49ers. Brandon?
Yeah, I had the 49ers, and after you guys have convinced me to change my pick.
You're going to put me on an island, Brandon. You're going to put me on an island?
Yeah, just 49er both pass defenses aren't great, but again, the deep ball from Russell Wilson, you've got Tyler Lockett, you got DK Metcalf out there, exactly. Chris Carson at running. I mean, they're more ready, you know, more fully intact than the 49ers are. If the 49ers had Mostert and just a slightly better pass defense, maybe I would be all right, but their backfield's just in disarray. I believe in Shanahan. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but
even if Shanahan misses the playoffs this year, job not in trouble. Not even.
Yeah. And look, I'm with you on it. On Seattle, just not being a good team. But I just don't think San Francisco is a good team either, right? And the difference for me is Russell Wilson over Jimmy G. I can trust Russell Wilson to put up points versus a bad defense. I'm not sure if I can trust Jimmy G to put up points on a bad defense. I can trust Kyle Shanahan too, but not necessarily Jimmy G.
All right, guys, just a couple more games left. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, CJ, I was with you until this past week when they played Green Bay. Green Bay is not a bad defense, and when the Niners needed Jimmy G to step up and put up points, he did.
Yeah,
awesome. All right, guys. Ravens at Broncos. The Broncos are favored in this one by 1 point. They're playing mistake-free football right now with Teddy Bridgewater under quarterback, and their defense is spitting like a young Nazir. So where are we going with this one? Are we ruling on the Broncos side, or is Lamar going to pull this out against Von Miller, resurged Von Miller? Defensive player of the week, Von Miller.
I've got the Ravens. Here's the thing. This is both other. I mean, the Ravens are battle tested. The Broncos have played the three worst teams in football.
Yep.
I don't know. The Ravens have Lamar and the Ravens have played tough, gritty football, won close games, including beating the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not gonna bet against that grit. I think the Ravens are a good team, and what we really get to see here is if Lamar is gonna come out and be able to throw and run the ball against this defense.
Nate, what you're saying here makes total sense. But on the flip side of this, Lamar Jackson hasn't played a great pass rush this year, and with the state that their line is in right now, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. Yeah, Broncos playing mistake-free football, pounding the ball.
Was Chris Jones healthy?
No, he sat out the game.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, I agree with Nate. Look, the Ravens, they're a good team. They're not as good as what they were last year and the year before, especially with the injuries. Granted, they've won some close games, but in those close games they won, they also gave up more than 30 points. With the exceptions of the Lions, and I mean, it's the Lions. So the Broncos, you did state they haven't really played anybody this year, and you're right. Their opponents have combined to go 0-9 so far this year. This is a good test for Denver. They're playing clean football. They're playing at Denver. I think those 60-yard runs for Lamar won't be 60 because, you know, the air's thin up there. So at the end of the day, I have Denver. I agree with Woody. I think the pass rush is
Lamar
get
might be
to
faster
him,
in that thin air.
He might still be dealing with COVID too.
Hey guys, I'm gonna flip flop. I'm going Broncos. I just got a notification that Lamar missed practice for the second straight day.
I already know why.
Due to his back. So
it's not
serious.
All right. So Brandon, you're taking the Ravens?
No, I'm taking the Broncos. It's like a pick 'em. It's
so we all agree with the Broncos. I think so too here. Steelers and Packers. Packers are favored by 6.5 here. I love the Packers here, money line wise, but that's a big spread for me. I'm personally gonna go Steelers. I think they muck it up a little bit, and you got they're gonna pound the ball at Najee. I think they're gonna start leaning on it. What do you guys think?
I'm right there with you. I think the Steelers cover the spread. I think Green Bay wins, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers at home.
I'm there with you.
I've got Green Bay covering. The Steelers are so far in the decline. It's not even funny. The Steelers are a bad football team.
All offensively, that defense is
yeah,
solid.
TJ Watt,
Watt plays this week.
Year.
Yeah,
TJ Watt plays this week. I could see Pittsburgh beating Green Bay. I have Green Bay winning, but if, like what he said, if Pittsburgh, if they muck it up, if TJ Watt and that front seven can get after Aaron Rodgers, I mean, we've seen that offense put up 3 points this year. So I could see it. Do I think it'll happen? No, but I could see it.
I think it's a field goal game. That's what I think it is.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Packers by two touchdowns.
I'm in the same boat with you three, or you two. Not you, Nate.
Hey, we just call me the Lonely Island.
Nice.
Hey, Nate, you might be right.
The Bucks and Pats. Bucks and Pats. Bucks -7.
Let's go.
The game of the week.
I think the Bucks put on the gas on this one.
Bro. 50 burger. All right.
If anyone knows Belly's little defensive tricks, it's Tom, dude. I think Tom is taking this personal. I think Tom has ruled this rivalry since he's left Tampa Bay. I think Bill is done, possibly. He's just his style has just been outgrown a little bit. I think this is like a steel cage match, and this is where Undertaker like ends people's career, and Tom Brady's the Undertaker here. I think Tom Brady's
that's a good one.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady's about to end Billy Bell on live television and take the Patriots all-time passing record, the NFL all-time passing record in New England.
I mean, all he's, I mean, to be fair, all he needs is like 66 yards. And he's
exactly.
It.
And it was on purpose that he would get dude, that here.
Dude. So guys, on wax, this the spread only being 7 is absurd to me.
Yeah, Vegas knows something we don't, because I think that's kind of crazy too.
Like this Look, should be
this
like
is,
21.
This is what Tom Brady said. Tom Brady said, "I know what the wind's like. I know how their team's gonna prepare. Yeah. I know what their schedule's gonna be like. I know what's gonna be said." Like that's. I honestly feel like the over-under at 49.5 is a bit much. Like, I could see this game being like 31-0.
Yeah.
38-7.
No. Here's the thing. Bruce Arians might be my favorite coach to watch anyone play for, because you know what he's going to go? Tom's going to be like, I want to keep throwing the ball. All right, Tom, keep throwing the ball.
Yeah, I love it. And also, I love it because he's fat and he wears that taxi cab driver.
Bro, I legit, if you have Tom Brady in your fantasy league, play him this week. Play him this week because you are going to get 50 points. It is personal.
Yeah. Tom might take a shit in the end zone.
What'd you think, Brandon?
I'm not really with you guys.
Oh, Brandon's and the coach siding with the coach, huh?
Well, I'm not siding with the coach, but I'm siding. I know I'm a flip flopper. I'm a huge Tom Brady fan. Watched him since he was at Michigan. I could write a dissertation on this guy's career if you wanted me to. But the emotions in this game, he's going to get there. He's going to feel it. The crowd's going to chant MVP at some point. I can already hear it in my head right now. It's almost like a home game for Tom. You know, this is Tom versus New England, right? But the fans are going to cheer for you. So it's going to affect him mentally, not to the extent where it'll affect his play. But I do think Patriots players, they're going to be ready. This game, they've probably had this marked down. They've probably been preparing for it ahead of time. There's plays in practice they've been running in fall camp just for this week. Bill Belichick's not going to let this one get out of hand. I think that it's going to be closer than we think, but I am going to have to go with Tampa Bay -7 on this one, but it's not going to be a bludgeoning. If it is, hats off to Brady, because I believe in him. I believe he could do that, but I don't see it.
Before we move on from this game, is Mac Jones good? CJ, I saw you posted a stat online the other day about Mac Jones.
Yeah, like, he's.
I'll throw that out there.
He's completing 29% of his passes that are greater than 15 yards.
Right.
Which is pretty putrid. And we know Tampa Bay likes to get up, get in your grill.
That stings just hearing it.
That's another key point. If he can attack their secondary, which I expect them to do this week because they're beat up, and they get a few downfield, Kendrick Bourne, any of those receivers get behind the secondary, look out. It can become a ball game quick.
Hammer the Gronk DFS. Hammer the Gronk in DFS. Because there's bad blood there, too. Him and Tom are besties. I'm telling you, Gronk is going to score like 3 touchdowns this game.
I'm telling you right now, this is an AB Tom Brady game. Antonio Brown is going to go up in there and drop it. Like you said,
COVID list Thursday.
Like, exactly, he did. You saw it. I saw it. We all saw it. Antonio Brown. You think Tom Brady is going to drop a deuce in that end zone? You're more likely to see Antonio Brown drop a deuce.
He will.
Absolutely.
He already Antonio has Brown, it in his pants. Exactly. He's just going to pull him down and drop it.
Antonio
it was already Brown's, there.
Antonio Brown's taking that end zone to Browntown.
Nice. All right, guys. Raiders at Chargers. This
no
is a
pun
big
intended
game
for Bill Belichick, who is the coach of the Browns, but he will be sent back to being the Browns.
Nice. There we go. Raiders at Chargers. The Chargers are coming off a huge win at Kansas City. The Raiders are 3-0. The Chargers. Let me just say, I've followed this football team for a long time. This is a Chargers trap game. They usually now this is going to be their test. Are they a different team? Because after a big win like that, they'll usually play down to their opponent. So if the Raiders, I think the Raiders are on the right path with Gruden right now. He's got them playing grit and grind football. So that usually is a week to week show up. I'm going to say the Chargers are going to cover here. But if they don't, it's not like the Raiders could win by like 2 touchdowns. The Chargers could throw up a dud here. That's their past performances. This is
history.
What
I like history. I like history. So here's the thing. I think I'm probably the lone person on the pod, but I'm a believer in the Raiders. I think they are. I think they are what their record says. I think they are a 3-0 football team. I can see them being a 12-13 win football team simply because of how Andy Reid and John Gruden match up. Normally they split those matchups season by season. Like, that's true. I really like the Raiders in the style of football they're playing. On top of that, Derek Carr playing MVP caliber football.
Derek Carr is definitely playing MVP caliber football. I'll agree with you there. I think the Raiders, they've shown quite a bit of fortitude throughout the first 3 weeks of the season. I don't think that roster is as talented as the Los Angeles Chargers roster. I mean, just look at it. You got the rookie Rashawn Slater on the O-line. You got two stud receivers on the outside. Austin Ekeler, who's on the right side of 30. Justin Herbert, great young quarterback. And then the defense is promising. Asante Samuel Jr. has been the best rookie corner this year. And then you got Derwin James in the secondary, who I think will play a huge part in this game, shadowing and covering Darren Waller, which we know how much Derek Carr loves Darren Waller. So I'm actually going with the Chargers here. To win.
Hey, so you take him to cover?
3.5. I would stay away from this bet.
I would say that
I do think it's going to be a fairly close game.
But you got to lay it down for the over. We're keeping track of picks now.
I don't think the Chargers cover. I think it's going to be a field goal game. And Chargers lose this game if they can't be disciplined. Which has been their Achilles heel this year. The turnovers, the penalties, that stuff.
All right, make sure you add that to the outline, please. Your official pick.
Thanks. Raiders.
Raiders.
It's going to be a barn burner.
A barn burner?
Barn burner. Take the over. Take the Raiders. +3. Yeah, Raiders +3.5, correct? Yeah, we're taking the Raiders. Those points. Love it. They could win by one.
Raiders got nobody that can stick my boy Mike Williams. Yeah. Anyways.
I'm happy. I like it.
All right. Final game, guys. Browns and Vikings. We saved Nate's best for last.
This is the first true test for the Minnesota Vikings. This is the most complete.
The other two losses were in a test.
bad news. All right. Time out. All right. I am not going to rehash previous arguments and points that I've made for those games. That being said, I think the Browns are the most complete football team they have played thus far this season. And if the Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings get I'm picking them to win this game because I think Kirk is playing the best football he's played in his entire career. And I think finally the entire team is on the same page. That defense looked actually really good against the Seattle Seahawks offense, specifically shutting down Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, we have some time on this one, so I think we can argue a little bit, on this one.
I love it. I love it.
I have the Vikings to win this one in a shootout. Vikings offense looks good. I think the Browns will be able to move the ball against the Vikings offense. Kirk Cousins is playing good football, and he will have another really great game. But you're saying the Vikings are playing really good football. I would challenge that and say you're not playing really good football if you're 1-2 and if your defense is giving up, over 28 points a game. I wouldn't say that's good football. And then
how many points are the Kansas City Chiefs giving up a game?
And then Kirk Cousins is not Patrick Mahomes. And then on the consistency end of things, the last two times the Browns played the Kansas City Chiefs, you picked the Browns. All right. And you just said the Browns are one of the most complete teams in the NFL, which I agree with. So with that being said, how do you pick the Vikings necessarily over the Browns?
Kirk Cousins over Baker Mayfield. And I think the run game for the Vikings is better. The Browns are dealing with some injuries. And Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter are getting to the quarterback, and Baker doesn't do well under pressure. We all know that. And I'm a Baker Mayfield guy. Yeah. Like I very much so like
great. under pressure either. And this is probably the best pass rush he's played this year, right?
This is a good point because this is what I want to get at.
Out.
Miles Garrett is playing. He has reached his pinnacle. He is now the best defensive end in the NFL. And
I like that.
Miles Garrett, there's a clip I'm going to send you guys later today. Once I find it, I was watching it yesterday. He literally teleported from one side of a lineman to the other side in one swift motion. It was the most amazing thing.
Like
the cameras, literally the pixels couldn't keep up with him. He started blurring. That's how quick he was when he hit this.
How many frames per second do we need?
It was blurring at the 1990s VHS camera at like 12 frames per second. All right. Like, let's not, like, I'm just kidding. Miles Garrett's great. Here's what I'm saying. CJ, you want to critique Kirk under pressure? Kirk has had multiple throws this year with a defender in his face about to take a sack. He makes the completion for the first down. It happened two or three times last week in the Seattle game, and it happened the week before in Arizona. Kirk Cousins playing very well under pressure. In fact, he is, I want to say, PFF's number three ranked quarterback in all of
the offensive line. The offensive line is giving up pressure. Let's see. Sixth in pressure rate allowed.
He won't make those plays
for Minnesota.
Miles Garrett coming down.
So it was Frank so Clark last week.
Not Miles Garrett.
True. Two different. But I'll state this point, and this is it for me. And I'm going with the Vikings in this particular game, plus two, right? Yeah, plus two at home, guys. Come on, man.
The CJ, Browns are injured. Are you going the Vikings here?
I'm going the Vikings here at home. Yeah.
Whoa.
If the Browns were healthy, I'd go Cleveland, but no.
Hey, look, I think they're similar teams. I think they're very similar teams. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think the Browns are great. I think they're a playoff team, but definitely beatable. And the Vikings, they have the recipe to beat them. But
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt will keep the ball out of Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook's hands. They are going to slam down game. And OBJ is going to bust his first long touchdown of the season. Browns cover, get the dub.
I flipped my pick. I'm going Browns too. I changed my mind.
Boom. Welcome to the club.
Dang.
Between all that argument and just being, you know, on the other side of the fence,
feel comfortable with me.
No. I like it. I like it. You know what? I like when I got other people on the wrong side of history. It's okay.
And we know you're gonna rub it in our face in the chat.
Bold
on Sunday
saying that
if
to
you get
a black
any
man.
Of these right.
I actually normally don't rub it in your face.
No, he normally don't. That's funny. I mean, rub it in our face.
When I get this one right, and I get all the big spreads that I picked right, yeah, I'm gonna rub it in your face. All right,
look, for the listeners out there, Nate doesn't rub it necessarily in your face, but Nate is like the coworker who will write something down on a piece of paper and pass to you and say, "Hey, what does that say right there?" That's what Nate does.
100%.
What does that say?
100%. I'll text something like, "Hey, didn't CJ and I have the Bengals upset the Steelers this week?" Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. We did.
Yeah, that's every week in our chat. If you want to know.
Amen.
All right,
I'm a field goal away from being 100% right.
That's gonna wrap up our Thursday night football preview. Friday football preview of the weekend. As always, we're concentrating on the bets now because people are betting money on football. And this is what we need to throw down at you. So we're handing you nuggets. And we're going to be keeping track of these picks. And we have maybe some secret gambling tools coming at you in the future, maybe an opportunity. So we'll talk about that more later on. As always, check out Brandon's site, footballscout365.com. And then, as always, check us out at the number 5toolsportspodcast.com. I'm your host, Woody Massey. They are the tools. And we are out.
Hey.
Man, that might be the fastest we've ever done anything.
Subscribe.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cube.